This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Nick Nyack. Nick is the Chief Procurement Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And Nick, welcome to the show.
Pleasure being here.
I'm looking forward to our conversation about DHS, its procurement programs. But first, Nick, I'd like to just talk about, you know, big picture, your position, the Chief Procurement Officer, and a little bit about your background. But with regard to the Chief Procurement Officer, what are your, you know, chief roles, responsibilities for the department?
Yeah, so I think probably the best way to put it in context is we've got acquisition and you have procurement at the department, like all departments, and everything flows through our secretary, through the deputy secretary. Our chief acquisition officer is our undersecretary for management, Rafael Boras. And underneath acquisition, you essentially have program oversight and procurement oversight. At the department, we spend about $19 billion annually. And it is that $19 billion overseeing that, which is the responsibility of the chief procurement officer.
Well, so that's a, Nick, that's a big job. $19 billion in federal spend for, you know, what fundamentally is, you know, post 9/11 and, you know, the whole creation of Department of Homeland Security, the importance of it can't be understated, or overstated, or whatever the right way to say that is. It's very, very, very important. But can you talk a little bit, you know, how did you get to the position and how did you get involved in procurement in the first place? It's always interesting to hear folks.
Yeah, I'm sure my story is similar to many of the thousands of contracting professionals in the federal government. I grew up in family businesses. My parents immigrated to the country in 1961, so I kind of came up with a business background. We ran nursery schools before they became sort of very corporate. We had a couple, two, three of those. Just like most people, after graduating from college with a business degree in finance and economics, I was looking for a position. And I actually applied to the private sector and got hired as a contracts administrator with one company. The interesting thing there was I was bidding on RFPs, primarily RFPs coming out of the Department of Defense. I continued to do that with another company before entering into the federal government. I actually came in as a contract specialist with a smaller independent agency, the National Science Foundation, about $1 billion budget. Doing grants and contracts. Then I moved over to the Internal Revenue Service, where I was a contract specialist, mainly working on IT buys. And then my career sort of took a different turn. I created something called what is now known as the Treasury Acquisition Institute. It's sort of like a mini defense acquisition university for the Treasury Department, where we were providing training courses to 17 federal agencies in all three branches of the government. And then kind of the career went from there. But my entry point was coming in the private sector and then transitioning over into the government. And it was, and again, kind of the similarity with a lot of the contracting folks is just that you never quite knew about this field or that it existed when you came out of college. But you find yourself in the field, and then you kind of fall in love with the field, and it becomes a tremendous career, as it has been for me.
Right, and it seems to me your path is a little different than, you know, I think the typical path. I would say, you know, I just think about my experience. I came directly to government and then went to the private sector. You sort of done the reverse. You went to the private sector and went into government. How did that sort of inform your thinking about procurement?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the field of contracting, so it's bidding on contracts and it's awarding contracts. And so my first experience was analyzing RFPs, reading every single thing about an RFP, hanging on every word of an RFP, and then developing a proposal and submitting it to the government. Then coming into the government, being on the side where you're developing the RFP, and all that goes into that, it was incredibly helpful to have the private sector experience before coming into government.
Yeah. And how did you, so the next thing, you know, so you ended up, you were at IRS. How did you end up at the Department of Homeland Security?
Yeah, so this is another neat story. So I was at the Internal Revenue Service, which is a wonderful place to work. It collects $2.7 trillion, funds the majority of our federal government. Wonderful procurement program there. Was an executive with the IRS most recently. And then an interesting thing happened, actually an unfortunate thing happened at the IRS. There was a disgruntled taxpayer who flew a small plane into one of our buildings in Austin, Texas.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember those headlines, yeah.
And there was one IRS employee who actually passed in that incident. The commissioner at the time wanted to do a security assessment of all of the 660 IRS facilities, and I was selected as the executive to hover over that assignment. So I was working in kind of the whole security area.
Sure.
Again, IRS, wonderful place to work. And the position of chief procurement officer at DHS just happened to be open, and through a series of events, I was honored to be selected for the position, even though it is the breadth and depth of the job is actually, you know, significantly more, little things like actually, you know, having to commute longer and longer hours and really no additional compensation were in the picture. But I was very compelled to come to Homeland Security for really several reasons. My parents immigrated to this country in 61 with $5 in their pocket, and they basically lived the American dream. As an Indian guy, I just felt like all of us as Americans need to step up and do everything we can for our federal government. I also happened to be flying on the day of 9/11 and went through all of the it's sort of kind of like this. When I was growing up, I traveled throughout the world. I was fortunate enough to travel throughout the world, and it was wonderful to be an American and traveling all around the world. 9/11 changed things for a lot of us all around the world, and the Department of Homeland Security is absolutely critical to us sort of regaining that wonderful balance that we had many, many years ago. So I was compelled to take the job. It's been an honor. It's been an honor to work with alongside of all the phenomenal employees at DHS.
Right. What, can you just, from your perspective, when you first got, it's interesting because DHS is made up of all these different entities that used to be either standalone organizations or parts of other entities, and when you're looking, you know, at that, what did you see as the biggest surprise when you came into DHS, and then you identified as your biggest challenge? It's two different questions, but what surprised you most first?
Yeah, I think there wasn't much that surprised me because I was fortunate enough to come in and hear from many folks who had been in the department. So I was really aware of kind of what I was
getting into, right?
But I think it's just the level of scrutiny about the department that's always challenging, but really rightfully should be there because the mission is so absolutely critical to our country. So I would say that was the most surprising thing. Then in my world, in the procurement world, certainly there are challenges, and the challenges are very similar to procurement challenges across the federal government. And that's why we developed a first-ever strategic plan to address the specific challenge areas that we are facing, that we will be facing.
Yeah, the scrutiny, as you so, you know, accurately point out, the scrutiny comes with the extreme importance of the role of the agency. And you know, just from my perspective, the role that procurement plays in supporting that mission, you touch everything that the agency, people don't really, that's one thing I love about procurement is you do truly impact the mission on a day-to-day basis, just across the board, the, acquisition professionals. So, in that strategic plan, Nick, we do have to take a break right now, but when we come back, we'll talk more about the DHS procurement mission, your responsibilities, and the strategic plan. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Nick Nyack. Nick is the Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. And when we took a break, we were just about to talk a little bit more about the DHS procurement mission. And Nick, I'm just going to turn it over to you. Can you describe, what you guys do and the role you play and the frankly, the importance of it?
Yeah, and I think kind of... simply put, we buy the things that help protect this great country. About $19 billion a year is what we're spending. We're in the group of top seven spending agencies in government, which spend 90% of the about $500 billion that's spent in government. Sort of some fast facts about DHS contracting. We have 9 contracting organizations, 1,453 contracting personnel, 18,000 active contracts and 100,000 contract actions per year.
Wow, that's a huge workforce, frankly. I didn't realize, you sort of surprised me with those numbers, how big the number of contracting people you have. Can you talk a little bit about some of your key programs and some of the successes that you've had over the last few years? I mean, I know DHS Eagle is a big procurement of yours that for IT. You can talk about some of those successes.
Yeah, so we've got programs, and then we have procurements, and everything is really big. So let me kind of separate it in that manner. Procurement-wise, we always have large procurements that are going on at the department. Certainly Eagle 2 is an enormous procurement that's out there currently. And
that's the follow-on to Eagle. Is it your next generation,
yes,
IT infrastructure support?
Yes, contract. Yes, it's a huge strategically sourced contract for IT services, and that's correct. It was Eagle, and now we're going to Eagle 2. We're very excited about that. We also have another large multiple award contract that's in flight, and that's First Source 2, and that's for IT hardware. And we have another one that is known as TABS, and all of these are in process right now.
Now, First Source, is that one set aside for small business?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we're able to achieve a lot with our multiple award contracts in terms of competition. First of all, in terms of getting a great cadre of companies to work with Homeland Security for several years, which they have done in the past, and we're looking forward to that in the future. Also competition, and as you mentioned, also small business. Outside of the large procurements, we have large programs, and each one of them has been successful in their own right. Let me just kind of chat about a few of them. Small business. In the area of small business in the department, we're really a leader. The SBA has an annual scorecard, and of the top seven spending agencies in government, we're the only agency who achieved an A on the scorecard over the last 3 years.
Just don't follow up on that. What were some of the keys to your success in that?
Well, first of all, I'm going to give credit to people, because contracting really is a people business. So we have phenomenal small business specialists. And in addition to that, let's face it, contracting with all businesses is carried out by our contracting community, working with our program community at DHS. Now, more specifically, the way we kind of pull it off, because if you look at government spending, we all know that a lot of the money gets spent in the fourth quarter for very valid reasons. And then a lot of money gets spent sort of in the last 30 days of a fiscal year. So that's an enormous amount of pressure on the contracting and program communities in the federal government. DHS is not unique in this regard. And they have to have ways to connect with small business that are streamlined. And that is why some of these multiple award contracts that we have specific lanes where we can connect with small businesses. We're actually providing those services in sort of a streamlined fashion. That helps us achieve get a good deal for the taxpayer, which is which is absolutely critical, deliver the mission, as well as achieve small business goals and some other things like competition, for instance.
Right. Well, it sounds like you guys have been sort of ahead of the curve when you describe that in those specific lanes from your multiple award contracts. You know, with the Small Business Jobs Act of 2010 and the ability to do reserves and stuff and things like that with small businesses on multiple award contracts, it sounds like you guys are on the we're already doing that kind of thing. We're on the cutting edge.
Yeah, actually, we were and I would say we're cutting. I would say humbly, we're on the cutting edge. I mean,
well, I can compliment you. I'm sucking up to you. I'm the host.
Yeah, no, and I very much appreciate it. Credit goes to our community. Another area is workforce training, a big area. Very pleased with what we're doing at Homeland Security. We actually have a Homeland Acquisition Institute, which reports directly to me, that provides over 300 courses a year for all of our acquisition personnel in the department. We have very high certification rates amongst our acquisition community, and we're doing a lot more in that particular area. Something I'm interested in that we're looking at and we're doing some things in is kind of how do you make, and this would be in my sort of line of business, contracting, how do you make contracting people smarter, faster? We've had a real influx over the last several years of entry-level folks bringing a variety of experience with them, but how do you make them smarter, faster in a field that is really the body of knowledge is pretty thick.
That far is a thick book, right?
Yeah.
We're talking 3 inches there at least,
and that doesn't even include all the supplemental things that we create.
Good point.
Last couple of items, just some sort of big things that we're looking at. Strategic sourcing. We have a wonderful strategic sourcing group. They work very, very well across the department. We have 41 or two strategic sourcing initiatives already in place. We've got ones that are in flight. And sort of if I had to summarize the story, I'd tell you, since inception in 2005, we've saved through our strategically sourced contracts versus all the contracts that they replaced $1 billion.
Wow, that's a big number, and it goes to the important. You figure out how to do it efficiently and effectively, and does it from your perspective? Strategic sourcing is requirements one of the big key. Being able to communicate that effectively to the to the private sector so they can compete.
Yeah, this is a big area. It's always a key. I mean, requirements is sort of the heart of good contracting. It's the heart of good acquisition. The clearer the requirement is, the better deal the government's going to get, the better it's going to be for the private sector to actually get us a better deal and offer us innovative solutions. So requirements is absolutely key, and it has been, it is, and it always will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that I know you've been working a lot on is like sort of standardizing, the policy and oversight and I think as I mentioned earlier, as you painfully know, I guess, is that, you're taking multiple organizations and putting them into a single organization, the Department of Homeland Security, and they all have their own procurement approaches, their own regulations in many cases, and trying to standardize that is a long-term effort. And how's that been going?
So this is an area that during my tenure so far I've been focused on, because you're absolutely right. It's a broad enterprise, $19 billion over 9 contracting organizations. Sort of how do you oversee that and how do you kind of standardize the oversight of that? I'm very pleased to say, and I really should say with all humility, that very recently OMB looked at what we did and the General Accountability Office looked at what we did, and both of them said it was pretty impressive what we've kind of put together. So what is it? We have something called a procurement health assessment. And The procurement health assessment has my four priorities as DHS chief procurement officer.
And our, Nick, you know what? You know, for the health of the show, I'd love to let you keep talking, but I do have to, you know, take a break and let the sponsors chime in.
Wonderful.
So when we come back, we'll talk more about where you're going in that area. We'll also talk a little bit, I think, about the importance of that consistent policy in terms of expectations for the for contractors competing. My guest today is Nick Nyack, chief. I can retape it. My guest today is Nick Nyack, chief procurement officer for the Department of Homeland Security, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Nick Nyack. Nick is the Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. And Nick, when we took a break, you were just about to talk about, you know, the assessment and looking across how you went about looking across the various procurement organizations and the differing policies and how you've tried to pull those together and make them uniform.
So I guess I want to lead off by saying when I say I always mean we. And the we really, there's everything that we've done has really been the working with our nine heads of contracting. And simply put, in terms of oversight, we have created a procurement health assessment, which has my four priorities as chief procurement officer, 30 initiatives that we've worked through our contracting community, and 66 metrics, which sounds like a lot. But it essentially traps all of our stakeholder interests as well as what we really believe will actually measure the health of procurement in DHS from year to year.
Right. And, you know, when I wanted to just get this point into it's, the goal of trying to standardize your procurement policies and operations, that touches everything that you do. I mean, there's one thing that I hear from the private sector. They want, you know, consistency in expectations, and reducing uncertainty reduces costs. So they understand how an organization across the enterprise is going to operate, and they can, you know, feel comfortable, you know, look, you know, at various different organizations and understand those expectations. They can plan better. And I think the part of that is also the workforce training initiatives that you have in place to address those. But you did mention strategic plans, and I think our listening audience would love to hear about DHS's strategic plan with regard to procurement.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I'm very grateful to all of our heads of contracting because since I came on board a little bit more than a year and a half ago, we collectively came together and we created the first ever 3-year DHS Chief Procurement Officer Strategic Plan. And why did we create the plan? We created the plan because we wanted to get it out to all of the 1,453 employees and very, very clearly state what are our priorities, what are our initiatives, what are the metrics for success so that we know how we're doing from 1 year to the next. And most importantly, we wanted all of the 1,453 contracting employees to see themselves as part of the big picture and know that they're actually driving success.
Okay. So why don't we get into the meat of it a little bit and talk about I think there's four big priorities,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Why don't we start tackling each of those?
So the four priorities, not in any particular order, although I always like to lead off with people. Quality people, why? This is contracting is a business that is done by people. You have to have quality people. Second one, quality contracting. There are so many things that we have to measure to ensure that we're effective in federal contracting that has got to be a priority. So quality people doing quality contracting. We are, none of us in the contracting community are in agencies that are in the business of exclusively doing contracting. We're at Homeland Security to do things to protect the country. We do that through in large part, we do it through our programs at DHS. There's 505 programs, 135 what we call major programs at DHS. So quality program support is another area. Anything we can do in the contracting community to ensure program success that delivers the mission has to be a priority for us. And then the fourth priority is quality industry government communication, something that I have added as a priority since coming to DHS as the chief procurement officer. And I would kind of characterize it like this. If everywhere you go and you're able to see, visualize what DHS is doing to protect the country, you're going to see a DHS employee who's going to do phenomenal work, and you're also going to see something that is produced by the many wonderful companies, large, medium, and small, that we work with from year to year. So you're going to see that combination. The other point is 46% of the discretionary budget is spent on contracting for support to help us protect the country. You've got to communicate, and it kind of goes back to the point about you communicate, you get clear requirements. If you get a clear requirement, you get a better deal. It's easier for both sides. And again, and finally, at the end of the day, we need the best solutions to these very complex issues on how to protect this country.
Yeah, better communications give better outcomes, fundamentally. Can you talk, I'm going to touch on each of these areas a little bit, Nick, and test you a little maybe. But first, with regard to quality contracting, can you talk a little bit about some initiatives you have to enhance competition?
Yeah, so let's put it in perspective. The government-wide goal for competition is 67. You kind of always look at what the government is doing, what are you doing, why are you doing, and how are you going to get it done. So in competition, the government-wide goal is 67%. Ours from year to year is the goal that I set is typically over 70%. Now, why do I say typically? Why isn't it always? Why doesn't it continuously go up? Because every year we've got to be sensible, understand what we're going to be buying, understand what of that actually can be competed, and then we negotiate competition goals with our 9 heads of contracting, and that is then measured through our procurement health assessment, where we have beginning of the year, mid-year, and end of the year checkpoints on that. Our large multiple award contracts guarantee us a good bit of competition. But I guess I would kind of summarize competition at the department is we're doing very, very well compared to the government, and we're doing extremely well given exactly what we buy. So typically it's in the 70-75% range for all of the goods and services that we buy.
Right, and that, I mean, to me that gets, when you describe that typically that's such a good way to put it, because it depends on what the program needs are that year, what contracts may be expiring, and fundamentally then the requirement that's being purchased, right, whether how you figure that out. And with regard to small business, are there any new programs in work when you talk about quality contracting and supporting small business? Are there any new programs in the works at DHS that you'd want to talk about?
So in small business, again, we've been fortunate to do extremely well in carving out very specific lanes that lend themselves to doing business with many small businesses. So not only are we able to connect with small businesses, we're also able to preserve competition. And also, interestingly, whenever we have strategic sourcing initiatives, we're still able to actually connect with small business in large part. We are doing extremely well in all of the different, and we're very supportive of all the different socioeconomic categories. I guess if I had to sort of mention, we do 100 outreach events a year to make sure that we're getting the word out to small businesses. And overall, again, we've achieved an A over the last 3 years on SBA scorecard. So yes, and those are constantly going on from year to year. What we'll do is if we notice in a particular category that we may not be or we're close to a goal, we may set some sort of new initiatives in motion to make sure that we're doing everything we can to maximize business to small businesses. However, I do want to also mention again, and there was an independent study that came out, it's going to come out again, that essentially showed something we already knew, which is 40% of our about $19 billion goes to large business, 30 to, you know, companies in the middle. There's no real definition there. And about 30% to small business, which, by the way, the government-wide goal for small business is 23%, so we're way above that. And the point I want to make is we have to connect with all businesses at Homeland Security in order to protect the country. We need them all, and it's really nice that we actually have demonstrated that we're connecting with all of them with this sort of 40-30-30 split.
And you're talking about, you know, the cross-cutting industrial base and service base that supports all the various, I mean, you do so many different things in Homeland Security. You know, with regard to quality people, I know you mentioned them first, and that sort of, and you talked a little bit earlier about any, your, some of your training initiatives. I just want to ask you a different question is, does, you know, your background in your family business and then also what you did at Treasury with the Institute there, did that sort of inform your thinking about how important it is to support the professional development of your workforce?
Yeah, I would say every experience in everybody's life, you know, has an impact on them. But since you mentioned some specific ones, I would like to actually address them. Growing up in family businesses and my mother, who was a phenomenal entrepreneur, is a phenomenal entrepreneur, ran a couple, two, three, child daycare centers and, she was one of the first pioneers to sort of figure out how to implement profit sharing for the employees who, you know, these are employees who they do good work. They do, you know, they work long work days, but they don't have college degrees. And generally speaking, you wouldn't get profit sharing in that kind of a very, very small business. But seeing the way when employees are taken care of, how they actually deliver was kind of one point of reference for me. The Treasury Acquisition Institute was actually me in a cubicle in 1992, and today it's a state-of-the-art training facility. They've trained over 100,000 acquisition folks in 17 federal agencies. And certainly seeing development of people and seeing what that does for them is another sort of point of reference for me. At DHS...
Right, Nick, right there. We'll let you come back and finish what you're doing at DHS, but we do have to take a break. But when we come back, Nick Nyack, the Chief Procurement Officer of the Department of Homeland Security, will continue our discussion about the strategic plan and their four priorities and the DHS acquisition workforce. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today my guest is Nick Nyack. Nick is the Chief Procurement Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And Nick, when we took the break, we were talking about, just about to talk about some of the initiatives and investments in people and the acquisition professionals at DHS.
Yeah, so within my priority of quality people, I guess the first thing I want to lead off by saying is I have a phenomenal leadership team that directly reports to me. We have some unbelievably very committed wonderful heads of contracting, 9 of them in DHS, and then we have 1,453 contracting people who are delivering on the 100,000 contracting actions and actually are in the busiest time of the year right now. So what is it that we're doing to make sure that we have quality people moving into the future? Number one, you got to take care of the people who are there. That's one of the reasons why we have a strategic plan so that everybody, all of the 1,453 folks, can see themselves driving success and driving the big picture and very clearly know what they're doing. As I mentioned earlier in the program, we have a very strong training and development program, and that's for all the people who are in the workforce, over 300 training courses. And the other piece is the issue that the federal government is facing of sort of looming retirements that has been out there for the last couple, 2-3 years. Maybe the economy has slowed that down just a bit, but it just means that there are more people who are sort of standing at the edge of that cliff with the opportunity to retire. So we have a wonderful intern program where we're carrying more than 100 interns, and they have the opportunity to develop and rotate and get a number of experiences that I believe will make them smarter, faster. So we've got that program going on. We've graduated 5 classes since its inception, And once they graduate, they find themselves in one of those nine contracting organizations. We actually expanded the program, so it goes beyond contracting. We're actually training people to become program managers and other roles in the within the acquisition workforce. So that's another area where we're working to make sure that we've got quality people moving into the future.
Right, and you mentioned program managers, and one of your, you know, one of the priorities is quality program management. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Some context with program management. So in DHS, again, there are 505 programs that are delivering mission capability. Of the 505, there's 135 major programs. A major program, generally speaking, is above $300 million for the life cycle of the program, which averages out to be about 5 to 7 years. And what we've done actually under the Undersecretary for Management, Rafael Borges' leadership, is we have reimagined the oversight of programs at the department. We have an investment review board that is enormously successful, and the undersecretary, in his capacity as the chief acquisition officer, chairs most of those boards where programs come up at various points in their life cycle for approval to move to the next sort of stage in the program. That investment review board, while it's chaired by the chief acquisition officer, it is populated by all of the appropriate stakeholders who can weigh in at the right time for a particular program, and my office is certainly part of every one of those. In addition to that, I have the responsibility of training and educating the acquisition workforce, so that's broader than procurement, as I mentioned before, and program managers are certainly a part of that.
Right. Well, you know, the thing that always struck me, that, you know, the real, you know, headline grabbing and sexy part of procurement, right, is that award, is the acquisition process. But the real fundamental sort of blocking and tackling of contract performance and program management, you know, that, the importance of that can't be understated, because that's where the results come from, right? You got to award a good contract, obviously, but then you got to be able to execute. So, and to that point, you know, the last of your priorities are not necessarily last. I'm not creating any kind of priority list or
right.
Descending order of importance kind of thing. Let's keep it in acquisition talk, sort of, right? But is quality industry and government communications. And I think that, you know, I'll get your thoughts on it, but it sort of seems to tie back into all the other priorities as well, in terms of, you know, whether it's, you know, quality of people talking to industry and, you know, requirements development, that program support, all those sort of things.
Yeah, first of all, I always enjoy speaking in front of industry because I think we're joined at the hip in terms of delivering things to help protect the country. So what is it that we're doing now in order to sort of evolve communication with industry at the department? Well, a lot of things. Number one, I've applied additional resources to getting some things done, and kind of, you know, what are those things? It's, I would say we have an annual DHS Industry Day. It doesn't solve all of the communication issues, but, evolving that, is a value add. The other thing that we have just started, which I'm very hopeful for, because at the end of the day, it's about people talking. That's what communication is we've created a procurement liaison in every major component in the department. We're just getting started with this, but it's my hope that they are going to help increase communication at the component level. And in addition to that, there's just actually a whole host of things. And I just, one more thing I'll just share with you, and that is, we are in the process of connecting with industry so that we can begin a series of forums where, industry can come in and share their thinking about, the RFP process or what they're going through on their side with our community, as well as our community will be able to talk about what they're going through at that same point in time. And I think that dialogue is going to be incredibly helpful to everybody on both sides. And it also ties back into quality people, because as we have a growing number of people entering our workforce, it would be great for them to have that experience through training that I frankly had because it was my first job out of college.
Right. You get an opportunity to learn about what, you know, what are the pressure points, so to speak, for lack of a better term, that industry or the sensitivities that industry when it looks at an RFP. I mean, that would be great. That's going to be great, great training for your folks.
And the only other thing I would add to that is I have made this a priority area. Many things were actually just getting started. What I want everyone to know, I want our DHS contracting community to know, and I want industry to know, is that we're going to continually chip away. And the goal is one day for all of us together to say, yep, DHS is the place that actually has outstanding communication with industry. There's always going to be one-off things that happen, but it's the continuous effort by making it a priority, the leadership message that I will deliver, that over time will get us there.
Now, Nick, we're getting close to the end of the show, so I wanted to give you a chance. You know, you've been the chief procurement officer for DHS for a little over 2 years now, and you know, do you want to talk about, from your perspective, some what you think are your most satisfying, you know, accomplishments, goals of the organization?
Yeah. First thing I want to say is what I'm most impressed by is, first of all, the support from the secretary on down for everything acquisition. Also, frankly, the support from the Hill, from OMB, all of our stakeholders, everybody wants acquisition to work. The other thing that I'm impressed with is the dedication of DHS employees across the board, as I've been able to move around DHS and actually see the mission get delivered. But specifically within my community, the 1,453 contracting professionals who, as we speak, are having the very, very tough lift of year-end spending, and I know that they're going to do a great job. The thing that I think I'm most pleased with is the thing that our community came up with, all of our fantastic 9 heads of contracting and my wonderful leadership team, and that's our strategic plan. And why? It's because for the first time ever, again, our community can actually see very clearly priorities, initiatives, and metrics for success. And incidentally, for the first time ever, we were able to actually electronically send that to the 1,453 contracting people. I went behind that, spoke to it, gave everybody a physical copy. We're going to have an annual update, so the plan will be a living, breathing plan. And I plan to go out again and speak to all the 1,453 contracting employees. So I guess to wrap it up, I would just like to thank the entire DHS contracting community. I know that they're going to do a great job like they always do here at the end of the fiscal year. I'm humbled by their work, and I very much appreciate their dedication in delivering the mission, which at the end of the day is to protect the country.
Absolutely, Nick. That's a great place to end the show. So I want to thank you. I want to thank Nick Nyack, the Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Homeland Security, for joining me today on Off the Shelf. You've been listening to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.